It's a wonderful thing to be able to start off a Zman together with a Tish at the beginning of a brand new year, at the beginning of a brand new Zman, on the cusp of Rosh Chodesh Elul. We don't always have an entire month of Elul like we do this year. It's a very rare occurrence that we should actually be Zeicha to an entire full month of Elul. And there's a lot of freshness in the air. There's a lot of hischatshus in the air. Baruch Hashem, I was zeicha this week to become a grandfather. And just today, my daughter and son-in-law brought the brand new baby into our house. They're staying by us. And when you see a brand new baby, you realize that the world is really it's a new world. There's a freshness in the world. Sometimes when we're not exposed to newness enough and we're in the same old rut, we forget that there's brand new potential every single day. But as we're approaching a new year, a new Zman, it's especially important to grasp this reality that there is a new world in front of us, that we have unlimited potential. And there's something very inspirational about that, very moving. In this past week's parsha, in Parshas Ekev, there's a pasuk that's, if you're a Baal Dikduk, it would, there was something jarring in the pasuk. The pasuk says, talking about Eretz Yisrael, but it says that Mereshis Hashana Vat Achris Shana. Pasuk says that from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. But instead of saying Mereshis Shana Vat Achris Shana or Mereshis Hashana Vat Achris Hashana, to keep it parallel and symmetrical, for some reason the Torah says Mereshis Hashana with a Hey HaYidiyah by the beginning of the year. The Ad Achris Shana, there is a missing Hey. It's just Ad Achris Shana, the end of the of year, the end of year, the beginning of the year, and the end of year. The Satmar Rebbe, the Satmar Rav, who is a Malach Hashem Tzevakus. If anyone ever saw a picture of the Satmar Rav, he looks literally like an angel. Not that I've ever seen an angel, but if I did see an angel, he would probably look a lot like the Satmar Rav. In fact, in the early years in America, when the Gedolim were starting to come to these shores and rebuild, there was a meeting of Gedolei Yisrael, and the Satmar Rav was at the meeting, and the Satmar Rav was fire. He was completely fire. He had his shittas, he had his hashkafas, he had his very, very strong opinions about matters, and he wasn't willing to veer whatsoever from what he considered to be the truth. And there were other gedolim that were there, and Rav Huttner was there as well at this meeting. So one of the gedolim that was at the meeting said to the Satmar Rav, I don't know if he was the gadol, this person, but a Rav that was at the meeting said to the Satmar Rav, after the Satmar Rav said something very sharp, very strong, and how we have to do it in America. America has to be done it. We have to do it in a certain way, and it can't be with any compromises. So this Rav says to the Satmar Rav, you know, you're in America now. This isn't Europe anymore, and we don't speak the way that you're speaking. We have to be more moderate. We have to be a little bit more nuanced and balanced. When Rav Huttner heard this comment to the Satmar Rav, Rav Huttner gets up, Malay Kaimov, he gets up with his entire body, and he says that in the Teva of Nayach, it says that Nayach was bitten on his hand by the lion because he served him a little late. And everybody asked, why is that such a crime? I mean, Nayach was very overwhelmed with feeding all the animals on the Teva. Why is the lion biting Nayach? What did poor Nayach do wrong? He brought his brought his food a few minutes late, for that he deserves to be punished. And Rav Hunder says that this is not any lion. This was the last lion, the last male lion in the world. And when you're dealing with the last lion in the world, you have to treat it with a lot of respect. The lion is the king of the jungle. And if this is the very last lion, you have to treat it with awe and reverence. You don't bring its food late. And Rav Hunder says that the Satmar Rav is the last lion in the world. All the lions were killed in the Holocaust and in the Churban of Europe. And he's the once Ud Mutzal Meish. He's the remnant that we have of a real pure lion who is willing to fight for the Kvod Shamayim as he saw it. And we have to give him utmost respect. You don't ever give Musa to the last lion. So with hearing this about who the Satmar Rav was for this brief few minutes, maybe we'll get a better appreciation of what he says on this pasuk. Tomid Eine Hashem Lekecha Ba Me Reishis Hashana V'Anachris Shana. He says like this, you know why the first, by the beginning of the year, it has a Hey Ayidia, and at the end of the year, it's silent, it's just a regular Shana? It's because at the beginning of the year, most human beings, we have this attitude, and it's a great attitude to have, that this is going to be the year. The beginning of the year comes Rosh Hashanah, and you say, oh, wow, this year is going to be a different year. It's going to be like an amazing year. This is the year I'm going to finish the Masechta that we're learning in Yeshiva. This is the year that I'm going to be Mavir Sedra the whole year through. This is the year that I'm going to really maintain my Sidrei Yeshiva. I'm going to be davening every minyan with every tefillah with a minyan. I'm going to go to all the Mashgiach Zvadin. I'm going to go to the Friday Shmuz. I'm going to stay every single Shabbos and every Yontif and every Tish. I'm going to come to the Shalom Zachar this Friday night in Mitzvah Hashem by the Mashgiach. It's going to be a great year. Going to be Mereshis Hashanah. That's how people think. And I'm going to, you know, do well in my college. And I'm going to exercise this year. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to be nicer to my family. I'm going to do chesed. This is going to be the year. Unfortunately, says the Satmar Rav, by the end of the year, at Achris Shana, the reality very often, not always, but very often is that as great as we anticipated and imagined that this year would be, that Tavshin Pei Dalet would have been, we sort of stumble into the end zone, into the finish line, and it doesn't always look as pretty as it did when it started. A lot of those dreams and a lot of those aspirations and a lot of those commitments that we had made, Erev Rosh Hashanah, to ourselves, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Ben Adam L'Chaveray, all of them very often, they sort of dissipate and it peters out. Mereshis Hashana, Yad Achris Shana. Starts off, it's going to be a banner year. But unfortunately, we know that very often at the end of the year doesn't really always match up with the dreams and the potentials that we had at the beginning of the year. What I wanted to say, just as a Haisafa, in addition to the Satmar Rav Zvart, is that to remedy this, what do we do to remedy this? I don't want to be one of these guys that every single year I made a New Year's commitment and then I failed. Somebody told me once that, you know, these workout gyms, a lot of people sign up for membership. If every single person that actually signed up for membership would come to these gyms, there would be a line around the block. You would never be able to get a treadmill or an elliptical or any of these machines because there's so many members that had signed up that, you know, it wouldn't be shayach. There'd be no room for you. What happened is they sign you up at the beginning of the year, New Year's. I'm not talking about Rosh Hashanah necessarily, but, you know, January 1st. And they sign up thousands of people because everybody makes these New Year's resolutions. This is the year that I'm going to lose weight. I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna get healthy. And then, what happens? Maybe a week later, everyone disappears. Like all the people that were raring to go, it just like dissipates. It sort of just like tapers off. And now there's plenty of machines to go around that you don't have to wait online. There's plenty, Baruch Hashem, that you could just go there at any time and you're good. And Lahavdil, that's very much what it's like as we look back on the year and Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us at the end of the year the month of Elul. And what Elul really is, in my mind at least, it's an opportunity to like sort of make the graph start going up a little bit. So it doesn't look like one of these pathetic graphs that you start off at the top and it just goes like in a very precipitous slope down till the next Rosh Hashanah and you feel like, what a waste of a year. So it sort of, you know, goes down, down, down maybe, but then at the end of the year comes Elul. And Elul gives us a chance to make it that it's not that Achris Shana, but it could be a little bit Ad Achris HaShana. We are able to once again reimagine how this year could have been. We're committed to repairing it a little bit, to fixing it a little bit, and to uplifting it, and making sure that as we go into the next Rosh Hashanah, we're raring to go because this year wasn't so bad. Look, I ended on a high. Sometimes you don't have to do so well throughout the entire year. As long as you end on a high note, sometimes that's good enough. And that's the beauty of Elul. Now, there's one thing about Elul. Elul is a great place. It's a great time. But you have to be in a yeshiva for Elul. If you're not in yeshiva for Elul, if you're anywhere but a yeshiva, it's just another month. Maybe they blow the shofar, they say, well, David, but it's not, you don't feel Eluldic. You don't feel Eluldic. When I was in Chaim Berlin as a bachur, I learned in Chaim Berlin after I got married for many years. And I used to learn with my Rosh Yeshiva or Rav Aaron Schechter. We had a chavrusa shaft every day by Musar Seder. Musar Seder was like a 15-20 minute Seder right before Mincha. And I was zeicha to learn with him privately for 2 years. And it was one of the highlights of my life. I have notes, many, many notes. We learned during Elul, we learned Shari Tshuva, and the rest of the year we learned Mesillas Yesharim together. Rav Aaron, of course, was Nifter not too long ago. And I remember one day we were learning together during Elul, and I saw that something was agitating the Rosh Yeshiva. Something was bothering him. And I said, Rebbe, is the Rosh Yeshiva okay? And I saw like he couldn't like hold himself back. He was like looking around the room and he couldn't like stop himself. He was like trying to restrain himself, but he couldn't. I thought he was like, you know, he was so nervous. He was so upset about something. And then he said, he just like ignored me and he gets up and he claps on his shtender. And he was upset that there was very few guys in the Beis Medrash. It was during Elul. And Musar Seder was pretty schwach. There weren't that many people there, or as many people as he felt there should be there. And he says, how could we have an Elul, a Musar Seder, an Elul that looks like this? He says, Rabbi Saul Salanter, the great father of the Musar movement, used to say that in Emerson, in truth, the whole year should be Elul. Why is Elul different? What, we shouldn't do tshuva the whole year? Tshuva is just a seasonal mitzvah. Tshuva is a mitzvah the whole year. The whole year should be Elul. It's true. He says, Abba, Elul is fart Elul. Elul is at least Elul. At least in Elul it has to be Elul. Maybe Hanukkah time it's not Elul. Maybe in July it's not Elul. But in Elul it has to be Elul. Elul in yeshiva is the only place that a person has the ability to really feel Elul. In the olden days, it wasn't like this, by the way. In Europe, people were on Shabbos of Shabbos Mevarchim. This Shabbos, the Chazan's going to say, Rosh Chodesh Elul Yeh B'Yayim, and nobody's going to even flinch. Everyone's just going to like repeat after him obediently. But do you know that in Europe, people would start screaming when they would hear Rosh Chodesh Elul, it would send a chill down their spine, and there were people would be screaming. Women would be up in the Ezras Nashim fainting. They had to have water come to revive the women because of the pachad of Elul. It was a real thing. Elul was a real thing, even for the Hamainam, even for the regular layman. People were really scared the whole month of Elul. That's something, unfortunately, that was lost, as Elul didn't transfer too well from Europe to America. But in a yeshiva, it's supposed to still be Eludic. It's supposed to be a time that we, you know, really try to step up our game and to improve ourselves, to learn a little bit more Musar, to be introspective, to think about how we can end the year on a high. How it could be a little bit better. You know, the word yeshiva is an interesting word, right? Why do we call it yeshiva? What's the word yeshiva? What's the etymology of the word yeshiva? So, pashas, everybody would say what? You sit and learn, right? You sit and learn. Yeshiva, it's a place you sit and learn. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to say that that's impossible. That cannot be the taich in yeshiva. That cannot be the definition of yeshiva. Why? Because the Gemara says that me'olam le'pasko yeshiva me'aveisenu, that Avraham Avinu was in yeshiva and learned, Yitzchak was in yeshiva, Yaakov was in yeshiva, Levi was in yeshiva. There's a whole mesira of yeshiva. So the Gemara is calling it yeshiva even from the beginning. From the genesis of the yeshiva movement, as it were, from Avraham Avinu already, it was called yeshiva. But yet the Mishnah and Megillah says that Mimais Rabbi Gamliel, only from the time after Rabbi Gamliel, there was a cholsha, shiyar de la'ilam. People got weak. They had to start to sit and learn. But before that, they always learned Bamida. They would learn standing. So if they would learn standing before Rabbi Gamliel, including in the time of Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, etc., so why would it be called yeshiva? It should be called Amida. Why, they didn't sit and learn in yeshiva to begin with. That was a more recent development. That was Rav Shlomo Zalman Sa'ara. I said this once on a recruiting trip to Eretz Yisrael years ago, and I was in I wouldn't call it a Baal Teshuva yeshiva, but a very, you know, sort of like a Baal Teshuva yeshiva. A lot of guys from a lot of different places, a wonderful, beautiful yeshiva. And I was about to like say what Reb Shlomo Zalman's pshat in yeshiva is, which I'll tell you afterwards, but it's not really as almost important as what this boy said, what this young man said. And I was so nispal that I said, you know what, I don't even want to tell you Reb Shlomo Zalman's pshat because your pshat is right. And what he said was, he says, Rabbi, I don't know what Reb Shlomo Zalman said, but I'll tell you, if I may, what I feel is the pshat, why it's called the yeshiva. He says, because am I wrong for saying that yeshiva and the word tshuva are related? The shirish of the word yeshiva and the shirish of the word tshuva are the same. He said, yes. He says, I feel that being in yeshiva is the perfect place for me to do tshuva. The perfect place for me to do tshuva is in yeshiva. I can't do tshuva. Tshuva is very hard if you're out on the street. Tshuva is very hard if you're at home. Tshuva is very hard if you're in a regular place. But a yeshiva is a makom Torah that's designed to enable a bachar to do tshuva. To do tshuva. And I think I said right away, full scholarship, you're in, come to Lander, please, like, we need guys like you. It was such a tmimistic answer, and it's so true. A yeshiva is a place, at the end of the day, that we could do tshuva. And it's the only place, if you want to do tshuva today in America, or in Eretz Yisrael, you have to be in a yeshiva. You have to, there's no choice. Tell you a sort of like a related story. many years ago, in the early years of Lander, I've been here almost since the beginning. And in the early years of Lander, there was a boy, there was a wonderful, wonderful boy. And he was here for 1 year. And he came over to me during this time of year, during Elul, closer to Rosh Hashanah. And he said to me, he says, you know, Rebbe, you keep talking about tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. He says, and he was not T4ing, he was not trying to be miskah at all. He said, I don't know, please tell me. You keep talking about tshuva, like, what am I supposed to do tshuva for? He says, I've been in yeshiva now here for a year. I never learned as well as I did this year. I never davened as well. I never shteiged as well. I never felt the kedusha of Shabbos, the kedusha of Yontif. He says, tell me what I should, I want to know what I should do tshuva. I don't remember doing any averis this year to do tshuva for. And he was telling me this, and I literally had tears coming down my cheeks. I was like, ashrecha, that a person could say that you can't think of any, I can't think of a day, of an hour that I don't have something to do tshuva for. And you can go for a year and not have one thing to think of about to doing tshuva for. But people that are in a very high madriga, another time I'll tell you more about this Talmud. It's an unbelievable story, but I don't want to use them all my great stories up on the first night. But the other guys in yeshiva, the older guys, know the story, I think, about this guy. Whatever, I don't want to... I'll tell you another time. But Baruch Hashem, we have to have such shevach v'edayot HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're able to be alive, that we're able to be healthy, that we have the minds to be able to learn a little Torah, to daven, to follow a career path that we of our choice, to be in a safe environment. In this day and age, you know, colleges all over the country, I don't have to tell you what's going on there. And Baruch Hashem, we have a safe, gated, beautiful Beis Medrash and a building and all the amenities. And that we have each other to learn from and to grow from and to befriend and to have a chevreshaft, a camaraderie. And that we're here for an entire Elul and we can really try to make sure that it's not going to just be another Ad Achris Shana with a crash landing into Rosh Hashanah, but rather we have a whole month to be able to engage in Musar, to engage in davening, to be wholesome, to be happy, to have Tishin like these Tishin. And I want to just end with one very, very important message. If you look in the letters of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner is the Baal Mechaber of the Pachad Yitzchak. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. And he has multiple volumes. Every volume is on a different yontif. And then there's another volume, which is my personal favorite. And it's called Igros Uksavim. It's the letters and the correspondences that Rav Huttner had. And Rav Huttner, no one wrote like Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner had like a poetic pen, and he was, you know, every word that he wrote is beautiful in all of his farim. But in the letters, he shines. Like every single letter is shining. And the shortest letter in that sefer, a lot of them are very long, some of them are a little long, some are shorter, and this is the shortest letter in the entire thick sefer. It says like this. This is the letter. Hinni la'idia l'cha. He's writing a letter to a Talmud. He says, I want to let you know, I want to inform you, she'eineni meichel l'cha klal uklal, that I am not meichel you whatsoever. So, what does that mean? Like, who is he writing this to? What did the guy do? So Baruch Hashem, there's an asterisk on that letter, and you look down on the bottom of the page, and there's a footnote. And the footnote says as follows: what was the avlu that this guy did? Did he? Do you think he like he did something very disrespectful to Rav Huttner? No. What did he do wrong that Rav Huttner would write such a sternly written short letter? He wasn't in yeshiva for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He wasn't Yeshiva Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Rav Huttner wrote him a letter. Hinni le'idielcha she'ineni meichelcha klal u'klal. I'm not meichel you. I'm not meichel you for missing out on being in yeshiva Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If I would tell you this, you know, a week before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you'd say, Rebbe, I'm sorry, I already booked my plane ticket, I already made alternate plans, we're going, my friends are getting together Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, whatever it is. I'm not saying that I'm not meichel you if you don't stay for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but I do want to tell you how important it is to gear up during Elul for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but not stam Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and yeshiva. I've been to many yeshivas in my life. I've been in Eretz Yisrael many years, and I've been in America, and I've been to many very wonderful yeshivas with beautiful davenings. But I will tell you that there is no more inspirational davening that I've experienced, maybe you had, but that I've personally experienced than the davening that we have in Yeshiva, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And Aser Simei Tshuva, Shabbat Shuva, there is a lot to be said, and I can't overstate it, that I really would love for every single person in this room and beyond, Esasher Yeshna Payamanu, Esasher Inenu Payamanu, whoever is here and whoever is not here. It's very important to stay in Yeshiva Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And because if this is where you are during Elul, and this is your miklat, as Rabbi Yaina puts, this is your escape from the world in order to enter this rarefied world of tshuva, then it behooves us to stay in the same place for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Obviously, there's exceptions, and we're not going to go, if you have a really good excuse, you know, we're not going to, you know, hold it against you. But if you have, if all things being equal, it would be very, very, let's keep it positive, it would be very, very appreciated if you would consider staying, because you will not come back to me afterwards and say, and have kindness in me, I promise you. You'll be grateful to me for. So now you have a month now to make plans to stay in yeshiva. And once I'm on that topic, and I spoke about this a little bit at orientation, but I'm Meshugal Davar Echad, I have this one, right, Meshulam is laughing because he knows me. I have one Meshugas, okay? It's not a Meshugas, it's very important, but if people want to call me the town fool, it's fine. Shabbos in yeshiva is vital. Baruch Hashem, we have an olam like this olam. I met a few of you, and I'm very impressed by everybody I met, but I keep hearing like rave reviews about this incoming class and how chashuv it is and how robust it is and how dynamic it is, and you have a cheskes kashrus by me. But please do not, I'm begging you, and I'm hoping that maybe if I start out at the beginning of the year, you know, you'll listen to me and you'll respect what I'm saying. You want to be in a yeshiva that has a robust and a geshmaka Shabbos. The food is delicious. The drushas, I think, are pretty darn good. And, you know, the ruach is very good. But it's ena daima when you have a large ilam every single Shabbos. I'm sure this Shabbos is the first Shabbos, and every sun and shine is going to be here, and it's an in Shabbos. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, reasons, you know, incentives, added incentives to stay, and that's great. And you'll see what Shabbos is like in yeshiva when it's packed, and I want to make it packed every single Shabbos. That's my goal, and it's been my goal. Before COVID, we had it. It was super packed. We weren't able to. There was a crazy amount of guys. And then COVID happened. And then, like, I don't know, it was Niskatno Adair. Suddenly, everything got a little schwacher. And it's still pretty good, but it's not what I want it to be. I want it to be really, really geschmack. If you have, again, if you have to go home, you know, your grandmother's having her 90th birthday, you know, then go home. If you have a, you know, a simchan, obviously. But the default, of where a bachur should be is in yeshiva on Shabbos. If you go to any regular mainstream yeshivas, let's say a Long Beach, a Philly, a Scranton, an Edison, you know, all the Lakewood yeshivas, they don't take off every Shabbos. There wouldn't be a yeshiva if they took off every Shabbos. They're there 4 weeks straight, 5 weeks straight, and there's an off Shabbos once every 5 weeks. I'm not saying that that's what we should be, or that we could be that, but why is that such a maila? Why is it a maila for guys to stay in yeshiva 5 weeks straight? Because the ritzifus, the consecutive nature of being able to like not keep on, you know, taking the pot off of the fire and then putting it on the fire. You're leaving Friday morning after the shmooze, and then you come back, Monday morning or some, whenever it is. But the start and the stop is not going to, it's not going to afford a person the ability to continue to really shteig. Just like you need Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in yeshiva, you need a Shabbos in yeshiva. And if you're going away, that should be a chiddush if you're going away, because you have a good reason. But the default should not be, of course I'm going away for Shabbos. And if we could really, you know, make this a focus and get your chevra to stay and make a geshmak and with zmiris and with, and we'll do everything that we can to make it better and better so that you'll want to stay, that would be an amazing, amazing achievement for this year, for Tafshin Ayin Hey? Tafshin, what?
Hey
Hey. Hey Hey. 10 years old. 10 years behind. Tafshin Pei Hey. And that is, that's my dream. That's my dream. I hope you share my dream. I'm not trying to coerce anybody into doing something that they shouldn't want to do. Everybody should want this. It should be the natural instinct for a person to stay in yeshiva as long as they can. And, you know, we have guys that throughout the history of Lander that they basically came, let's say, after Sukkot, and they didn't leave yeshiva. They didn't leave the building until Pesach. They did not come up for air until Pesach. And these are the guys that, by the way, today, those guys are in Eretz Yisrael, in the Mir, biggest Talmud Chacham. And then there's another one in Lakewood. He's mamish on fire. He just got his Dayanis from Lakewood. He's a Bucky in like Kol Torah Kula. It didn't happen by accident. It didn't happen by going home every Thursday night, Friday morning, and then coming back Monday. It just didn't. It would be impossible. So if we want to really shteig and we want to become B'nai Torah and Talmid Chachamim, the way to do it is just stay for Shabbos. What's the big deal? Make a geshmak. And this is something that's very close to my heart. I don't get paid extra how many guys come on Shabbos. But I happen to be here every Shabbos. I've been the Rav here on Shabbos for over, 20 years now, 19, 20 years. And I love it here on Shabbos. Beautiful. Davening is beautiful. It's just an incredible place to be, a great kiddush, everything. But the one thing that we need is we need as many guys coming as possible to make it really, really geshmak, to make it extra beautiful. And with that, I will end. And again, I just want to tell you one other thing, that I'm very, very, very appreciative that everybody is here, that you came here. You know, sometimes you go on an airline and they say, you know, we know that there are other choices and we're happy, thank you for flying Delta, whatever. And, you know, there are many choices today. And I understand there are choices, and I understand that, you know, you had choices. And the fact that you came to our yeshiva and you trusted in us to be able to provide for you all the things that you expect and that you deserve, it means a lot. I appreciate it. I really do. I really sincerely appreciate it. And I want to develop a kesher with each and every one of you. It's a very big ilam, and in order to really get a kesher with me, you're going to have to come to me a little bit, and you know, don't wait for me to come to you. Please come to me. And I'm always available to talk and to shmooze and to laugh and to listen and to develop lifelong, not just for this year and the next year, but a lifelong connection with you, Mitzvah Hashem. And I want to wish every single one of you bracha v'atzlacha. Have a wonderful Elul, a wonderful Ksiva v'chassima taiva, a good Gevan Shtiar, a good year, full of many dreams, many aspirations now. Think about what you want to accomplish this year, and then Emir Tz Hashem, you will accomplish it. May Reishis Hashanah, Barachris Hashanah. Kein Yiratzeh.